Hello again, and welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. I appreciate you all coming by. I am performing to a live audience tonight. We have the boyfriend sitting in. The dog is hiding somewhere, and the cat is trying to eat a small orange, which, from what I understand, is very uncat-like behavior. Anyway, how are you doing? I hope the holiday season doesn't have you too worn down. I don't know about you, but I'm finished. I've got all of my Christmas shopping done. I sent out all of my cards today, so I can sit back and relax until December 25th, when I'm sure I will have many, many wonderful gifts to open. We shall see about that. But what do I have to talk to you about this week? Well, I went over my bookshelves, took a quick look, grabbed a bunch of books, and put them up on Bookmooch. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Bookmooch.com. It is an excellent way to get some free books, and also a very good way to get rid of books. You know, if I had my way, this entire apartment would be bookshelves on every single wall. But that's sort of out of the question, so I have to free up some space from time to time. So, I am on Bookmooch. I am under the username Mshades, M-S-H-A-D-E-S. And right now, the books that I put up, I've put up a little notice saying that I'm not sending any until January because it's the holidays, blah, 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 blah. But if you go on Bookmooch, create an account, and request a book from me, and you mention the podcast, I will send a book out to you right away. So, a special offer for listeners. If that doesn't get more people listening, I honestly don't know what will. So there is that. And I do recommend checking out Bookmooch whether or not you decide to get books from me. Anyway, it's a great resource. What else do I have? I have been thinking, does anybody know anything about WordPress.com? It seems to be a popular blogging site, and I've been thinking of moving my operations over there. It seems a bit more flexible. I can do more stuff with it. So if you know anything about WordPress, please send me an email. Let me know and tell me how easy it is or how difficult it is to set up a podcast from there. With the one-year anniversary approaching, I'm thinking of making a few stylistic changes. You know, we shall see. Nothing too radical, I promise. But moving hosting sources is certainly one idea. Anyway, that's all off topic, and I have a long review to talk about today. Last week, I told you that the clue was a very old astronomer with a silver nose, and his name turned out to be Tycho Brahe. Well done, Esteve, who correctly guessed that this week's book is The Green Futures of Tycho by William Sleater. Now, it is always dangerous to revisit a book that you loved when you were a kid. Everybody knows that. Some books are really just geared towards a certain age, towards a certain time of your life where that book can step in and say, here, someone knows what you're thinking about. And these books are amazing. You read them and your life changes. Maybe only in small ways, maybe in ways that you don't even realize until later, but it does. Then you come back to it 10 or 20 years later and you think, hey, I remember this book. I loved this book. I think I'll read it again. So you do. And, well, it's a disappointment. Not because the book isn't as good as you thought it was, but rather because you aren't the person you were when you first read it. There's nothing wrong with that, it's just life. So when I ordered this off Amazon, I did so with a certain amount of trepidation. This book occupies a very special place in my heart. I read it over and over again when I was a kid. It installed a love of time travel that I keep to this day. I even adopted the name Tycho as a pseudonym for various parts of my own mind all the way through high school and beyond. I would have kept it, except that those guys over at Penny Arcade have pretty much stolen that from me. But anyway, I knew that rereading it would put that entire past at risk of becoming foolish or childish or stupid, and I wasn't sure that my ever-vulnerable pride wanted to take that. Fortunately, I discovered that the book was as good as I recalled it being. Shorter than I remember, of course, but, you know, still good. The story is deceptively simple. Young Tycho Tithonus, the youngest of four siblings, the other three being very talented and thoroughly unpleasant, finds a small silver egg-like object while digging up a new vegetable garden. As innocuous as this seems, that object is about to change everything, because it is, in fact, a time machine. It's not very difficult, really. It has a series of dials on one end, which you turn to set the time you want to go to. Press the other end, and it's done. And Tycho does what anyone would do when presented with such an amazing device. Go back and rework an unpleasant event in his past. And if by doing so he could maybe teach his nasty siblings to appreciate him more, well, so be it. Of course, the ramifications of this act don't become clear until it is much too late. But really, the past doesn't hold that much allure for young Tycho. It's over and done with, and it was never really pleasant to begin with. So, he decides to go into the future to see what's become of himself and his family. A quick 20-year jump to April 23rd, 2001 shows him what's in store for himself. A desperate, unhappy, bitter man fronting for a lunar entertainment industry and reduced to begging sponsors for money. Disappointed and upset, Tycho comes back. Later, he visits the future again, same day, only to find it's changed completely. He's no longer a sad, shapeless man, but a tough, ruthless one. A man who uses his ability to travel through time to make money and ruin his family. Terrified, Tycho returns to his own time. But this curiosity just can't be stopped. He needs to see a future where everything works out all right. Unfortunately, every time he goes there, it's worse and worse. His future self becomes a monster and a murderer, a willing agent to bring beings of a higher power onto this planet. This is one of the things I've always liked about Sleater. His mind turns around corners. Everyone and his uncle can write about a time traveler going to the past and changing the present, but who writes about someone changing the future by messing about in the present? Not many, I'll tell you that. Each time Tycho comes back from the future, the knowledge he has gained causes him to say something or do something that alters the course of his future in a new and terrible way. And seeing how much worse it gets just forces him to make even more terrible decisions until you have the final terrible paradox of an old Tycho trying to chase down and kill his younger self over the course of millennia, which does bring up the problem of paradox, which is unavoidable in any time travel book, often known in fiction as massive gaping plot holes. For example, if Tycho time travels 20 years into the future to see his older self, there shouldn't be any older self there for him to meet. It's impossible. As far as the rest of the world is concerned, Tycho vanished on April 23rd, 1981, and reappeared 20 years later. Everyone else lived through that time, but he simply sidestepped it. Instead of finding a letter from his older self to his mother in their future house, he should have found perhaps a black framed picture of 11-year-old Tycho with a note to the effect that they should have loved him more. The only way I can think of to resolve this problem is to assume that Tycho was absolutely and incontrovertibly determined to return to his own time after every future visit, thus ensuring that he would eventually live out those 20 years. Fortunately, Sleater handles these paradoxes in a very simple and straightforward manner. During one of Tycho's experimental first trips into the future, he meets his teenage self, who shows him how the dials work on the egg. This is the sequence. "But," Tycho said, "but if you're me, I mean, if we're the same person, how can we both be here at the same time?" "No time to explain now," said the other Tycho, bending over him. "I've got to show you how to work this thing fast, so you can get back to your own time." "But that doesn't make sense," Tycho said, more confused than ever. "If you have to show me how it works, then who showed you how to..." "Shut up and concentrate." There you go. That bit there is the author saying, "Yes, I know there are paradoxes involved, but that's not the point of the book." That pretty much sweeps aside all those little picky details, like older Tycho trying to kill his younger self, or the fact that, by the end of the book, the entire story didn't, you know, technically happen. Shut up and concentrate. He handles the alterations resulting from time travel very neatly as well. Rather than beat us over the head with, "Things have changed," like, you know, Back to the Future, where it's obviously different, he just inserts a simple descriptive line in there. If you're reading carefully, you'll notice that Ludwig's hair has gone from proto-emo long to a nice crew cut. That's one of Tycho's brothers. Even Tycho doesn't notice, which is interesting. When presented with the results of a change in time, he has a moment of jamais vu. If I'm pronouncing that correctly, I never did study French. This is the feeling of something familiar being totally new, and then the story just moves on. The effects multiply and resonate, and even Tycho isn't aware of how much he's changed. So, going back to the plot hole problem for a moment, there is the small issue of the egg's origin and purpose. We know it was planted on Earth by aliens, something like 150 million years ago. They did so with the intention that it one day be found and used in order to prepare the way for their arrival and dominance of Earth. This is what can be gleaned by the ravings of older Tycho. But why would an alien race, which has time travel sorted out, need such a roundabout way of conquering the world? Why drop it into some Jurassic mud and leave it to the whims of plate tectonics? Why not just show up at Tycho's house one day and drop it on his bedside table? This is never adequately explored in the book, probably because it's not what the book is about, but it nagged me when I was a kid, and it still does now. All plot holes and paradoxes aside, it is a really good book, and if you have a kid, I recommend it. It's the kind of story you can really pick apart and look at from many angles. You know, in one sense, it's a story about destiny. Tycho and all of his siblings are named after extraordinary famous people. Ludwig Beethoven, Tamara Karsavina, which I probably am also mispronouncing, Leonardo da Vinci, and Tycho Brahe, in the hopes they would grow up to emulate them. Tycho's siblings fall into line very easily, adopting the roles they'd been given from birth, but Tycho doesn't. He's interested in a little bit of everything, and he isn't sure what he wants to do with his life. I knew that feeling when I was 11 years old. Hell, I know that feeling now. And of course, it's about the futility of letting your future control your life. The future is not fixed. It's an organic, growing thing you cannot begin to control, and the tiniest change in the present could become a radical change in the future. Sure, it's good to have goals and plans, but try to wield unbending control over who you're going to be. It's foolish at best. And that brings me to the nagging question that occurred to me right around chapter 9, which is the first time Tycho sees his adult self and is terribly disappointed at him. Reading this again as an adult, I found myself wondering that if 11-year-old me appeared suddenly, what would he think? Would he be impressed at the path my life has taken? Would he be disappointed by, say, my physical appearance? Would he be surprised at the relationship I have with my siblings? Would he be shocked that I have a boyfriend? What would his judgment be on his future? Of course, following on the heels of that was the more important question of who cares what 11-year-old me thinks of my life? Not to disparage the 11-year-olds out there, and I know you're listening, but you don't know nearly as much as you think you do, and becoming a teenager is not going to confer any more wisdom. Tycho doesn't know the 20 years of history and context that led him to become a miserable bastard. Perhaps if he had learned a little, he might have made better decisions when he returned to his own time, and if 11-year-old me gave me any lip about what I'd become, I'd send him back to his own time with a whole host of new neuroses to deal with. Anyway, my point is this. The Green Futures of Tycho is a damn fine book. It's a good time travel adventure, and it's a good allegory for the existential angst we all go through when we consider the future. While such feelings might be new and raw to a child of Tycho's age, it's old and familiar to us adults, and it's still something we need to deal with. Perhaps the best way to do it is to simply appreciate what we have now. So, that is The Green Futures of Tycho. Let me give you a quote, as always. After all, he wasn't doing anything dangerous like interacting with the past, which might have unexpected effects on the present. What harm could a little peek at the future do? How could he change anything there? So that is from The Green Futures of Tycho by William Sleater. One of my favorites, gotta admit. So, that is about it. It's a rather long review, so I'll try not to take up any more of your precious time. I know you're very busy right now. But as always, I encourage you to send me emails, send me comments, go to Facebook, become a friend. We're still at 94 people, and my Christmas present this year has to be 100 fans on Facebook. Tell your friends, tell your family that The Secret of Eternal Life? I don't know. True happiness. Yes, I deliver you true happiness on this podcast every week. Tell them that, and tell them to become fans. But other than that, let me give you a clue to next week's book. It occurs to me that choosing this book to come after a book about 11-year-olds and, you know, their relationship with adults is a little bit of an odd choice, but I've wanted to do this for a while because it's an entertaining book. It's a rather old book. It's from Japan, and the original title of the book that held most of these stories, it's a collection of short stories, the original title of this book was Glorious Tales of Pederasty. Go see what you can find. It's not, no. If I see the FBI at my front door, I'm going to come kick all your butts. But that is the original title of the book that held most of these stories. So if you can find the modern title and tell me who it is, you will, as always, get my eternal appreciation. So that is about it. Thank you very much for coming by, and I will see you, of course, next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you would like to send me some email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes or become a fan on Facebook. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.